Well, I wouldn't want to be in any of these underground bases when a earthquake hits. That's for sure. We'll be back in a moment with our guest, Dr. Richard Sauter, and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Richard, do you think this United States area that we ever had ancient tunnels and
Yes,
that,
I do.
okay, who built
Yes.
them and why?
Well, I've picked up anecdotal accounts here and there of ancient tunnel systems that the military-industrial complex allegedly has broken into in the course of their own secret excavations and explorations. But in addition to that, and antecedent to that, I talked with some of the Hopi Indians out in the Southwest, and they have a centuries-old, actually thousands of years-old, story that after or at the time of the last destruction of the world, in their history, the world has been destroyed four times before. Not that the planet physically was destroyed, but the world civilization went through a cycle of destruction and had to redevelop all over again. Now, their story is that at the time of the last destruction, thousands of years ago, they went underground and lived with the ant people for some period of time until things settled down on the surface, at which time they reemerged in the vicinity of the Grand Canyon in northern Arizona and reestablished their society on the surface of the earth after having sojourned underground with beings that they call the ant people. Now, they may call them the ant people simply because, not that they're ants
Well,
necessarily,
they live
but
underground.
they live underground
Yeah.
after the fashion of ants. And which leads me to think that for that reason alone, there may be another human society, at least one other human society on this planet, but residing underground, and maybe for thousands of years.
To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. And where are you calling from?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here at Sandia Base, we have an underground tunnels that were people have worked on these tunnels and stuff, you know, in the Mazama Mountains, and they've seen planes fly into the mountain there with the big doors open and stuff. But what I wanted to comment was on the International Space Station. We found information that they built the International Space Station. They were supposed to complete about the year 2004, but they postponed it to 2005 because Japan could come out with a certain bolt. The reason they're building the International Space Station is because some of the most wealthiest people in the world, they call themselves the Council, are situated in England. And what they're going to do is be able to suspend themselves in animation like the Russians did with Mir for 80 years growing crystals. And what they wanted to do is be able to suspend themselves. There are about 450 members of the most wealthiest people in the world want to suspend themselves in animation in the International Space Station, watch the Earth blow itself up, and come back and start a perfect civilization and race without us.
Interesting thoughts, Richard.
And
Yeah,
also,
well,
we found out that they make laser projections of UFOs.
yeah,
We're going to be seeing big holograms.
interesting. What do you
Yeah.
think, Richard?
I don't know. It seems that at present, NASA and the Russians have trouble just keeping two or three people up in the space station.
How are you going to get 400 people up there?
Yeah, it seems a bit problematic. The pictures I've seen of the space station show that it wouldn't really accommodate that many people. Now, maybe there's something else up there that we don't know about, but from what I've seen, the current space station is nowhere near large enough or sophisticated enough to provide for that many people.
I think they would be more apt to live underground in bases and facilities that have already been constructed.
Oh, that'd be my guess as well. And my research suggests that that's one of the contingency plans. So as for things in the Monsanto Mountains. I've heard that same story that this gentleman related. I've never been able to pin it down. It's certainly a story that you can hear if you live any amount of time in that part of New Mexico. It's a story that I've heard myself. Now, it is true that there are two underground facilities on the Kirtland Air Force Base, Sandia National Laboratory Complex. One of them was built in the 1940s and 1950s, the so-called Monsanto Base, and it has gone through at least three different phases. At first, it was a place for constructing and storing nuclear weaponry, and that continued right up through the 1980s into the early 1990s. And it also was a place for reverse engineering sensitive military technology. Now, whether that ever included any UFO technology, I'll let you let your mind run. I don't know, but one would wonder, given the events that have transpired in New Mexico. And the third phase, the Department of Energy has taken over a lot of that complex for the storage of nuclear waste, among other things, low-level nuclear waste, I believe. So it's gone through three phases at least. Now, there's another installation that was built in the early 1990s by the Air Force elsewhere on Kirtland Air Force Base, and it is a repository for nuclear weapons. I believe one of the largest such in the world is very highly secure and has very impressive high-tech, state-of-the-art security procedures.
You know, talking about tunnels, incredible tunnels being built from Mexico to get under the border in order to smuggle drugs and people.
Yeah, well, that's small potatoes. We've read about those in the paper, and those are fairly crude affairs. The tunnel story from New Mexico that I heard when I lived there, and I've heard elsewhere since I moved away, is a long-standing rumor of a tunnel between the Sandia-Kirtland complex in the southeast to the southeast of Albuquerque up to Los Alamos, to the National Lab at Los Alamos. Now, you would have to transit the Rio Grande drainage to do that, and I asked someone in the know whether that could be done, and the answer I got was, well, of course. You know, the answer was essentially, in the black world, money is no object and technology really isn't either. If there's a need to have it in a compartmentalized project and the money's available, any technology on the planet can be yours. And so the question then becomes, is the desire strong enough to do it to warrant the outlay of the money and the technology and the time? And if the answer to that is yes, then the probability that the project will be done or has been done goes way up.
International Line, where are you calling from? You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Pamela from St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada.
Go ahead, Pamela.
I was wondering if your guest was aware about, in the scriptures, in the Bible, there's a book called the Book of Amos. And in chapter 9, it talks about what I feel very strongly when I read it, about a base that's been built in Mount Carmel, and also something under the sea. If you let me relate it to you, then you can tell me what you think.
Okay.
It says, though they dig into hell, my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, I will bring them down. This is God speaking about them. And it says, though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, which is a mountain, I will search and take them out. Though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, I will command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And every time I've read that, I've been very strongly convicted that that's what they're talking about.
Sounds like a map, Richard.
Well, I guess, that's interesting. You never know. Your interpretation may be correct, but my research does suggest that there are indeed clandestine undersea facilities built not only by the military, but by major corporations and perhaps others as well.
Is this a worldwide phenomenon, Richard?
I think it is. I think what we're dealing with here is, and this is why increasingly in my research, and I hope that you and the audience are picking up on this. I'm not laying all of this secret underground and undersea activity only at the doorstep of the American military establishment, though I want to tell you they are very heavily involved, but not, they are by no means the only ones. And it's, I don't know what more I can say than that, George.
Okay, let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We're all doing fine. Thanks.
Yes, I'm Jack from Syracuse.
Okay, Jack.
And regarding your sponsor, your talker, you wanted to know about people that applied for work at some of these places. Antarctic Support, I have paperwork for them. I've applied to them a couple of times, and they only allow their personnel to be there after they're screened 6 months to a year. And on the paperwork, they had listed all the job titles that they had there, and they had some 60, 70, maybe 100 different job titles, both skilled and unskilled. And they also showed or explained in the paperwork that you would be, if you got accepted, you would be taking a flight to an area and then a cutter ship to one of three bases there.
Did they tell you what your role would be and how much money you'd make?
I know that it's big bucks based on what skills you have and what job title you have. But they didn't relay that unless you're hired.
Any questions for him, Richard?
Well, that's, you know, that information is consonant with what I've heard. I can tell you I had a friend who had a friend who was hired to work at one of the weather stations in the Antarctic, I assume also through Antarctic Support Associates. And he was a short order cook at a breakfast bar. That's what he did. They
right.
paid him well for that. And for that, George, that and only that, he had to have a security clearance. And he was not in the military, mind you.
What do you think is going on out there, Jack?
Oh, scientific research, among other things, because that was in the paperwork, too, that it had to have a top secret clearance, and that title was on the paperwork. I had a top secret clearance when I was military intelligence.
How did you even know how to apply? How did you know how to find them?
Well, I went through, I used to work for a few other security companies outside New York State that hired armed guards and guards for strike security.
I see.
And I acquired the numbers through friends and other companies that gave me the number to call to get a hold of these people.
Is that what you were going to do out there for them, security?
I was trying to get into security out there for them.
Do they make you buy your coat, or they're going to provide that
for you? No, I guess they provide you with all that, and it's big bucks, and they house you, and there's medical facilities out there because those job titles are on there.
And so you'd work maybe 6 months to a year for them, and that would be it?
Right. You know, it's 6 months at a time, and from what I know of, they specified three different areas that you could go to.
Interesting.
Offhand, I don't know the name of them, but I know that you had to take a cutter ship to get there.
It's pretty fascinating, Richard. Thank you, Jack.
Yes, it is. And that has done nothing to throw any more light on what's happening down at the South Pole than we knew before.
No, other than they're still looking for people.
Yeah, they're looking for people, and something is going on that's very highly secure and very secretive, and it absolutely goes way beyond, you know, taking a penguin census and measuring the ice thickness. You tell me what's really going on down in Antarctica, because I would like to know.
Good question. Wildcard line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Cara. I'm calling from Toledo.
Hi, Cara. Go ahead.
George, I totally respect you. I really do. But this has just got to be one of the... How can there possibly be some tribe of human beings living underneath the surface of the planet or underneath the surface of the ocean, and nobody knows about it? It's the internet age. I mean, there are people digging and excavating and researching and exploring all of the time.
Here's an example. In New Guinea, they just found an entire grouping of new animals and plant life that we have never known before for thousands of years on this planet. They just found them. So, you know, it's entirely possible these strange things could be occurring.
Well, okay, now I can understand finding animals or flora or something like that in an uncharted part of the Amazon basin or some New Guinea, exactly, your example. But with all of the oil drilling and excavating that goes on in this country and little kids digging holes in their backyard, I think somebody would have had to have come across something. And I just can't believe that there's some huge government conspiracy to cover up the fact that the Morlocks are living in Joe Schmo's backyard.
I'll let you answer this, Richard.
Oh, well, you know, all I can say is that if you think little kids digging in their backyard are going to get down more than about 18 inches, I don't know what your perception is of their technical capabilities. But how could there be a government conspiracy? There have been many government conspiracies, and many of them quite effective. Mind you that no one knew that there was anything such as an atom bomb, though the American government had been working on it for something like 4 or 5 years, until one went bang at Trinity Site in central New Mexico in 1945. And even then, the government said, well, an ammunition train had blown up, and people accepted that. And it wasn't until the weapons were dropped, 2 or 3 months later on Japan, that they could no longer keep this story quiet. But for years, there had been hundreds of thousands of people in aggregate working on this project, which was highly compartmentalized. It was absolutely kept out of the press. Even very few politicians knew about it. Even a lot of the people working on the project, even though they were involved, didn't know exactly what was going on because they just worked on one little piece and weren't giving the large picture. So, in fact, it's possible for government to work for years on very large programs that cost a lot of money and involve high-tech and thousands and even tens and hundreds of thousands of people, and keep it secret. And the Manhattan Project would be the primary example of that. Now, the cover-up on the UFO situation is another example. This has been a conspiracy from a very high level of the military-industrial espionage complex, extending over a period of decades. And I think if you talk with someone like Linda Moulton Howe or Richard Dolan, for example, who are two of the best researchers in that field, that they would very quickly tell you, indeed there is a conspiracy. It goes very high in the American power structure, and it's been in place for decades. So I understand why you make that point, and the natural reaction of not only you, but everyone, myself included, when I first started discovering this information, which I haven't given one thought to at all, before it called itself to my attention, I would have thought it was preposterous. But when I first started hearing these stories, instead of rejecting them, I just listened and didn't start my research right away because I didn't know what to think about it. And later when I did a little research, I thought, well, there's something to this, but only a little something, and I've discovered the entirety of this little something, and there's no more to know, and that's really how I felt.
All right, thanks, Richard. Stay with us. Back with final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. I think in Missouri there are underground food facilities there where trucks drive them down caves, and they haul them down that way. Strange. Our next Coast to Coast program, John Lash, our guest. He's a mythologist. We're going to talk about some things about the knowledge of UFOs and the alien influence that has apparently been lost. We'll be back. Richard, before we go back to final calls, so where does your research take you from here? What things, what hurdles do you still need to jump?
Well, I want to inquire further into the Nazi trail because it's clear it's an important thread to keep tugging on. The Nazis were brought over and integrated seamlessly into what's happening here. And So I want to keep working on that. I also want to look more into the question of ancient underground tunnels, because I'm gradually finding out more information in that regard. I was in Egypt a little over a year ago, and it was clear to me that quite a lot is underground there still today, and that the ancient Egyptians were very heavily into tunneling and underground excavation. They did have, I'm persuaded after having seen their monuments and some of the things they made, they had machinery that has oxidized away to nothing with the passage of the millennia. I'm persuaded of that. And there are, I think, a lot more, there's a lot more to be discovered about what our ancestors did thousands of years ago in previous cycles of civilization. I'm very taken with the Hopi story. I believe that it is essentially true as told, and that they probably did take shelter with another civilization or a grouping of people underground for a period of time, and then parted from them and came back up on the surface. And of course, then, you know, there are these ancient tunnels in South America in the Andean region that run for miles, which were clearly not built by the indigenous Indians. No one really knows who built them or when or exactly how. They haven't been fully explored. And
how big are those tunnels, Richard?
Well, my editor, David Hatcher Childress, has been in some of them, so he'd be a better one to ask than me, because I've never been down there. But I understand they run for miles, and I think some of them are like 10, 14 feet across.
It's a lot of digging, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't seem it was digging, George.
Really?
Some of these seem to have been melted.
Melted?
It may have been a more of a high-tech tunnel boring machine using something like the the machines I referenced in my first book, these machines that thermally melt their way through the rock using a nuclear or atomic power source.
So it's pretty clean.
Yeah, clean cuts. And some of these tunnels run for miles and miles. It's not clear what's in them, where they go, who made them, for what reason, when, how. It's a big mystery, but it's clearly something that was not done by the Indians that were there when the Spanish arrived.
Might they have been used as some source to carry fluids or something?
You know, I don't know. Maybe or maybe not. Whether they were transportation tunnels or, as you say, or as you're alluding, conduits for some type of substance, fluid substance, I don't know. It's a big mystery. We live on a planet full of mystery.
We sure do. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is John from Missouri, a proud NighthawkZone.com
member. Well, hello, John. Say hi to all your members for me when you go back.
Will do, George. Thank you. All right, I'm going to just kind of put it out here and butt out and let get to other callers. But, okay, my question for Dr. Sauter is regarding subterranean operations at Denver International Airport. And now then, according to a website that has a transcript of a 96 interview between a gentleman named Dave Allen and a man named Alex Christopher, Philip Schneider, who was a supposed survivor of the claimed Dulce alien human fight, claimed that, one, he was offered plans to build a subterranean base at DIA, and two, that there are aliens running a child slave labor type camp, not to mention aerial shots of DIA that seem to show a swastika-like layout on the runways, and also the Freemason capstone inside. Dr. Sauter, any thoughts or comments on this, and have you seen The Arrival with Charlie Sheen?
That's a great movie. You want to comment on his thoughts, first of all, Richard? Then we'll talk about that movie.
I've seen the Masonic capstone. It's very interesting. But then a lot of buildings have Masonic capstones or keystones or cornerstones. They've been doing that for a long time. So it's not unusual to have a major public building to have some kind of Masonic stone or something at it. Now, as for Phil Schneider, I talked with Phil a couple of times by phone, and then he died. He made a lot of sensational allegations. He was going to send me some documentation, but then he died. He never did send me anything. To my knowledge, Phil never provided hard, substantiated documentation to back up the sensational allegations he was making. To what extent what Phil said was true, or false was, I don't know.
How did he die? Trust under not too strange circumstances?
Yeah, it seems that Phil was murdered rather brutally.
I wonder why.
I don't know who did it, and I don't know why they did it. I mean, we could speculate till the cows come home. I simply don't know. And I never knew Phil well other than to talk to him twice on the telephone. And
why does it seem, though, Richard, that people who come up with off-the-wall theories or very interesting theories or try to work on things like Dr. Eugene Maloff did with alternative energy, they end up dead?
In some cases. In other cases, no. I mean, I'm still talking to you. Linda Howe comes on the show all the time. Richard Dolan. I'm not saying that they didn't run afoul of parties that did them in because of their research. On the other hand, we live in a very violent society, George. We know we like to think we are uniquely peaceful.
We're not peaceful.
American society is incredibly violent and murderous. We kill each other by the thousands.
25,000 a year die in this country from murders. Now, it's a big country, but I got to tell you, I always use this as an example. There are a lot of murders, and there are more murders in this country than there are deaths generally in some of these other countries by some of their own horrible means.
Yeah.
And if you saw headlines in, let's say, European papers, if they said 25,000 Americans murdered last year, you would think we were in the middle of a civil war.
Well, in fact, our murder rate is higher than most other countries of the world.
Now, what about his questions about the aliens running a child slave labor camp?
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay.
I can't say it's happening or it's not happening. I simply have no information at all.
Did you see the movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen? It's a great movie.
I think I did.
He stumbles into a alien base where they're pulling out, they're heating up the planet.
I did see
it. It's a great movie.
When it came out. Yeah, it was very interesting. My personal opinion is I think that there are other species and races on the planet besides us. Now, I'm not sure all of them are extraterrestrial. There may be intelligent insect, amphibious, amphibian and reptilian species here that have been here maybe even longer than we have.
Could be. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good.
It is Kenny. I'm driving through Texas right now.
Hi, Kenny. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I had a comment on one of your callers, and I had a question for your guest, if I can.
Sure.
Your caller a little while ago was talking about the internet, and if she'll look it up, you know, Bill Gates agreed to help the Chinese government to censor the internet down there. So who's to say that can't happen to us over here?
Good point.
And the question for your guest is, I drive a truck, and, you know, drivers get together, and they always tell stories. You know, you get drivers together, they'll chat and tell stories for hours. And one of the main stories I've heard since I started driving is these underground complexes, like hundreds of different warehouses, and just extending for miles and miles underground. And I've heard of one, like you said earlier, out in Missouri, and I've heard of one out in Kansas somewhere. I was wondering if your guest knows anything about that.
Yes, the Subtropolis, which is in Kansas City, it's below Kansas City. Is well known. It's actually owned, I believe, by one of the Hunts. And it does have miles of roadways and extensive warehouses and offices. There are a number of companies down there. And it's huge. And so some of these facilities do exist. The Subtropolis is well known. It's publicly known. And trucks drive right in there and deliver their cargo and drive right out again. So, yes, I have heard of that, and I think that's what you're alluding to with your reference to Missouri and Kansas. But I've also heard of other facilities. I'm reminded of a letter I got some years ago from a truck driver who told me that he delivered cargo in Texas, where he entered a tunnel and drove for miles and miles underground before I unloaded at a vast underground warehouse. and then left the complex the same way. He didn't specify what agency, organization, or corporation was operating the facility he was in, but he said he couldn't believe it. He drove for miles on an underground highway. If I understood him correctly, something on the order of 60 or 70 miles. That was the allegation. Now, is that story true as told? I don't know. I just offer it as an example of some of the kinds of things that I've heard. I heard from another truck driver who alleged to have delivered something in the mountains in the mid-Appalachians, where there was a doorway off of the highway into the side of the mountain, and drove in and made a delivery, and then came back out, and the doorway allegedly was concealed. And I must say that my research again and again has indicated the Appalachian region does have clandestine underground facilities in it.
Is it
now, again,
who runs all
of these places? And I accept that there are clandestine underground facilities in the Appalachians, as well as in Texas and a lot of other places. Who runs all of these facilities, and why do they have these big underground warehouses, and for what purpose are these operations and projects being conducted? I don't know. I have even more questions about this than the average person.
It is strange that they would keep these secret from us.
For so long.
For so long. It's almost as if we knew about it, they would think we would panic because maybe they know something we should know.
Well, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz, I believe, has been on your program. And for those that don't know, she's a former assistant secretary of HUD in the first Father Bush administration back in between 88 to 92. And her research suggests that there are trillions of dollars that have been skimmed off from public monies out of the stock market, out of the federal budget, et cetera, and funneled into the black budget, into secret clandestine programs and projects. Her figures, I believe, now run over $4 trillion. And, George, that is a vast sum of money. It's
huge.
Our money, George.
Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. You're trucking somewhere, aren't you?
Yes, in New Mexico, and it's weird. My husband woke me up to start driving, and you guys are talking about the Manzano Mountains, and that's where we live.
Ah.
And we go off-roading a lot because you need a four-wheel drive to go in those mountains, first of all. They're very secluded. It's just you could just tell, like, not too many modern people have been up there. And one day he took me up there. He's like, come here, let me show you something. There was a tunnel going underground. It looked like an ancient tunnel. I don't know, but it didn't have any signs, like no trespassing or nothing. And it was just like in the middle of nowhere. It was weird. And it just goes straight down, like perfectly for a person to fit down there.
Did you think about going down there?
No, he's talked about it. And a couple of his friends are like, oh, we'll put flashlight helmets on. I'm like, you guys are crazy. But it's really firm. It's like made out of stone and everything. I don't know. I just thought that was strange. And I just think it's strange, too, how they're so secluded.
What do you recommend people do, Richard, if, like Lisa, they come upon a tunnel like this?
Well, I mean, you can go in, but let me tell you, go in at your peril. I mean, if you get apprehended, that's one thing that could possibly happen if indeed it is a clandestine facility. Or if you're not a trained tunnel explorer, as it were, you could fall down a shaft and break your neck.
Oh, and never come back. What if there's some critter hanging down there?
Like rattlesnakes, you mean?
Or a bear? Who knows what could be down there?
Or the other thing that can happen is I've hiked in the Manzanos myself, and you have to remember there's been a lot of mining in the mountains in New Mexico for centuries, and there's a good number of abandoned mines there, and in some cases those are air shafts for mines, or actual entrance shafts to get ore out. And you got to be careful because the air doesn't necessarily circulate well in those places, and you could hit some bad air.
Good point.
And suffocate.
Yep, good point. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
San Jose.
All right, take it away.
Hey, I was just listening to what your man there was talking about Antarctica, and I've been down there several times, and this German conspiracy that the theory I heard back in the late 60s and the early 70s, and that is so bogus. And I was just talking to your caller here quite some time ago. It's kind of late to get on here because you really can't discuss it totally. But this guy is so full of baloney. The Germans couldn't take Russia because of the winter. And we used to sit around there at McMurdo down there at the Old Club talking with a lot of those little chiefs and all that about this. And they says, you know, you can't even... they were in the old-time subs, and they're just nothing but floating coffins, you know, especially you get down there in Antarctica, and they might have been down there for a short period of time looking for something or doing or trying to get on the ice, but they could never make it. But I've had several people call me about this because they knew I was down there quite a number of times, and I call some of my friends that live up around the Bishop area, because that's where most of the construction people used to come from. Was
all right. Well, let's get your take on this, Richard, because we only have a minute left.
Yeah. Well, if there is something like that going on down there, it would be highly compartmentalized, and the way that everything works, including a secure project like what's happening in Antarctica, it's on the basis of compartmentalization. And if you don't have a need to know what's happening in a compartment, you will not be told and you won't know. And so that would be my essential response. I don't know what this gentleman did, but I do know that in the black world, if you're not in the compartment, if you don't have a need to know, you aren't told. And more than that, what's going on is actively concealed from you.
Well, I've got to tell you what, Richard, fascinating work, and keep in touch with us. I'm sure there's many things to talk about with you.
A great deal more, George.
Okay, that's Dr. Richard Sauter. His website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.